All right. Okay, let me just get a quick raise of hands. Is anybody going to shift next quarter? Next Sunday is the last Sunday that we have. Is anybody going to move over to the ladies' class or the men's class? Or is anybody going to stay here that's here? You guys are all going to stay here? Okay. Just wanted to make sure. We're trying to see if any couples are going to be moving up or moving out next quarter, or if any couples are going to be moving in next quarter. So I don't know how many lessons to prepare. And we've got your next quarter already. Or I should say the next lesson that we're looking at. Okay, we're at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4. If you need to look over there, look over there. So far we've been talking about why God allows trouble in marriage. And we found out it's to direct us oftentimes, sometimes to inspect us, and then other times to correct us. And then today we're going to be looking at to perfect us. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 4. Everybody's got that one there? That was the verse that I left you guys with last week. Amen. By the way, anybody, before we actually quote that verse together, got a word of testimony you want to share? Something you didn't get a chance to share in Sunday school? Anybody got a word of testimony? Yes, Lily.
Pastor, yeah, I called Carmen Griswold last week. Just was missing in our class. Mm-hmm. She said she's been sick. She got some kind of pneumonia. So she's asking for prayers.
Amen. Yeah. And she's probably got whatever it is that's going around. I just went to the doctor on Friday. Charmaine and I actually were there at the same time, because Charmaine was down getting some medicine. I was there getting some medicine. So we saw each other at the same time. No, it was Wednesday I saw Charmaine at the doctor's. Amen. So praise God. So pray for Carmen Griswold. Anybody else word of testimony? Yes, bro?
I'm traveling to help my son with the baby. I got there late to the airport. I didn't get there late, but it was a long line, so I was going to discuss something. So you're going to be on standby. I said, okay, so I got him to the gate. And either that or I was supposed to have to pay for a first-class seat, which was like $90 more. And I was like, Lord, you know I have a need. I said, please let me get on this next flight. And I was like, I already waited 3.5 hours in the airport. Because my flight, you know, since I missed the first flight, I had to wait till the next one. And I was on standby, so I didn't have a for sure seat. So I didn't know how long I was going to be waiting in the airport. So he just opened the door for me to get a standby seat.
Amen.
So he said, when I have need, that you have to call me, and I need to get on this flight. I mean, he didn't have to give it to me, but he did.
That was going or coming back?
Going.
So you flew, your ticket was standby initially?
No, it
was because you missed the flight?
Yeah, because I was late.
Okay.
I was getting close to, you know, it was 9:15, my flight was going to go out at 10. So it's too late now, I'm going to get late, so. The line was so long, so I had to go through customs and all that. So I'm on a standby seat, so I didn't really even have to. I couldn't have gotten, you know, I could have stayed there longer at the airport,
longer,
but Lord
let me get a standby seat. Amen. So as long as you didn't have to stay overnight, like we had to do in Houston, which was a nightmare. Amen. Anybody else for a testimony? We say 2 Corinthians 1:4. Okay, let's go over there. Amen. And we're going to say this together. How many know it by heart? It's a tongue twister, isn't it? It's kind of hard, you know, but it is doable. I mean, I kept going over and over and over and over, and I kept messing up, and then finally I got it. I thought, praise God, amen. So let's go ahead and read that together. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. I mean, I had to say that over and over and over. And I had to get little warnings to put in these spots. Amen. And finally, I got it down pat. Amen. So that is our verse. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you once again for the verse that we have here, Lord. It's a tremendous verse, Lord, letting us know why we have to go through certain things that we go through, especially in our marriages, Lord. Direct us in our discussion this morning, and may it be pleasing to you, Lord, and may we gain a blessing from it and some encouragement as well, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So this verse, notice verse 3, it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. So God is the Father of mercies, and it says the God of all comfort. Then it goes right into verse 4. who comforteth us in all our tribulation. So in other words, if you're going through a tough time, a trial, a test, or a tough time, God is the one who's going to bring you your comfort. Now, sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he uses circumstances and situations. But ultimately, it is God who orchestrates that comfort to bring it your way so that you're comforted. But then notice what he says. When we're going through this comfort, it's God who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So God says the goal of him comforting you and I is that when we find somebody else going through trouble, say, I've just come out of tribulation, my wife and I in our marriage, God comforted us. And then we see David and Stephanie come over here. They've got the same problem that we had, or a similar problem. And we can say, you know what? This is what God did for us. And this is what God can do for you. So he says, God comforts us in our tribulations so that we may be able to comfort someone that's in trouble. Now, how do we comfort them? Notice what he says. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, you know what? I went through a tough time. We went through a tough time as a party, as missionaries. But guess what, Corinth? We can comfort you as well because God comforted us first. So when you look at your troubles and your trials, don't just get into a pity party and say, oh, woe is me and how bad it is. Look at who you can be an encouragement to, because there's a lot of people going through trouble as well. Maybe not the same trouble that you're going through, but it's still the comfort that you received is comfort that someone else can benefit from. And so look at it. If God blessed you in such a way, you think, man, God can bless me. Now, just change it financially. The Baldwins needed some financial assistance. We just talked about it in Sunday school. We had the opportunity. Why? Because of John Lasco blessing us financially. So we've had a plus money since that time. And so now Crossroads got into a little bind. And we said, hey, we've got a little bit of money. We were comforted. We can give you a little bit. Now, guess what? They came right back and gave us that money back. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to give some more out to Stephanie and some others. Why? Because God blessed us, or he comforted us in our time of tribulation. We didn't have that money. God gave it to us. Crossroads had, when we say, hey, look, we got from God, let's give to you. Crossroads said, we're good to go. We're going to give back to you. And by the way, that's how grace giving works anyway. Paul over in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 says, hey, look, somebody else may have a need. Right now you have. Give to them. When they have a need, they'll give to you. And that's what happened. Tribulation is the same way. We look at tribulation as like, oh, no, I don't want to go through this. This is terrible. Why do I have to have marital woes and problems? But you know what? God says, I'm going to bring you through a problem so that I can comfort you. Now, this other couple is going to come along and you can comfort them. My wife and I have been married for, 31. Oh, we just went 31. That's right. Normally, whatever G is, I add 10 on to that. Amen. Or 20 on to that, because he was born at our 20th anniversary. So 30, but he's going to be 31 this year. So 31 years. Yeah. So God has brought us through 31 years. He'll be 11 this year. That's true. So we've got 31 years that God has brought us through of trials and tribulations and tests. And we've had 31 years of tests. Now, if you've been married any length of time, how long you got married?
Almost a year.
Two?
Coming up on a year.
Okay. Oh, so you newlyweds. All right. I know you guys are just newlyweds. Amen. Man. And Kayla, you guys been married 2 years? One? That's right, you got the same as Brad now. Okay, so almost one, brand new. Lily, how long you and Scott been married?
December 4, 1993, so that would be like 21 years, almost 22 years.
Almost 22, okay. Yeah. Rose?
34.
And Annette?
11 or 12.
No, there's the guys that don't get it right. Robin and Bruce, how long you got married?
10.
10, amen. So when you look at this, you know, all of us have been married at different, some of you guys are newlyweds, you know, we're brand new, we're older weds, amen. And so when you look at the age and that we've been married, we have seen a whole lot of things, amen. Ebony, there's a ladies class in the fellowship hall, if you want to go to the ladies class. Miss Katie's teaching that in the fellowship hall.
This is. I heard that. I am very newly married and newly to be married, so
I'm
going to be a final.
Well, amen.
We learned the things I should have learned the first time
around. Well, come on in and join us, amen. So when you look at this, you know, you guys have been married just a short time. We've been married a longer time. We have a lot more, as you would, battle wounds or marital wounds to show for, battle scars, or however you want to look at it, amen. We've been in more battles. The more battles you've been in, the more opportunities you had to be shot at, amen. And when you get in battles quite a bit and you get scarred up, amen, you can say, hey, I got this one over here at the Battle of the Bulge. Got this one over here at the Battle of the Armistice. You know, I got this one over here at the Battle of Waterloo. You know, I got this one over in the Battle of whatever, you know. And then you can say, hey, look, God got me through it, though. And I say, well, how did God get you through it? Because I'm going through that. And you let them know how God got you through it. And that's what this verse is talking about, that whatever it is that you're going through or have gone through, God is able to give you the comfort that you need. Amen. Notice what it says in verse 5. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Ebony, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So he says, as you know, the sufferings that Jesus went through abounded in him or was manifested in him, our consolation also is going to be able to abound because God has comforted us, and so we can give you the comfort. Because did not Christ go through sufferings? Yes. Mm-hmm. And he said he abounded in suffering, but he also abounded in the comfort, and we can give it to you. It says verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So Paul says, whatever it is, it's to help you. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Then he goes into some of the things that they were delivered from there in the next several verses there. So look at it that way, that God is taking you through some things in your marriage, or will take you through some things in your marriage to help you out in your marriage. But then you turn around and you help somebody else in their marriage as well. Who better to help someone than someone has been where you've been? You don't go to single people to get marital counseling. They don't know anything about being married. They know of it, but they don't know it. You know, I know. Just like me and my wife. Me and my wife could tell you all about raising kids before we had kids. We could tell you how to get them clean, how to get them on a schedule, how to do this, how to do this. Why? We had babysat kids, and we got them on a schedule. We got them marching to the beat, man. But then we had our own, and we couldn't give them back anymore. And they were there 24 hours a day. And my mausoleum that I used to have called a house turned into, I don't know what it turned into, but it didn't turn into a mausoleum where everything had its place. Now nothing has its place. And I'm constantly, pick this up, pick that up. But wait a minute, I had it down pat before we had kids. It's like this, it's like this. Every kid that came over marched to our beat, but now they're our own kids. It's like, oh, son, that gets old after a while. I'm tired of telling y'all to pick this up. I just pick it up myself this time. Spank you one, amen. Whatever the case may be, amen. And so the best one to give advice is one that's where you are. And so that's what this is talking about. So let's look at our sheet here, because the fourth thing here, it says to perfect us. And James tells us to count all joy when we face all kinds of trials. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. By the way, if you are married, you're going to face a trial in your marriage. If you're single, you're going to face a trial as a single person, amen? But it's different when you're married. Why are trials different when you're married?
You have somebody to help you through it.
You have someone to help you? That's true. Amen. Rosa, you're
going to say it. Because you're not two anymore, you're one.
You're not two, you're one. And if my spouse has a trial, what do I have?
A trial.
Whether I have my own personal trial or not, because the two are one, we have a trial, and we've got to face that trial, amen? So notice James chapter 1, he says this, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Mark, read verse number 2.
I'm sorry.
James 1?
My book is, it keeps falling. Okay. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Okay. The word fall there in the Greek actually means to surround. So it's not like you just kind of stumble. If you would, here's a trial. Here's a trial. Here's a trial. And here's a trial. So it says, count it all joy when the trial surrounds you. You go this way, trial. You go this way, trial. You go that way, trial. You go this way, trial. Why am I going to count that joy?
Because you're surrounded by it.
I thought it's supposed to be like Cinderella. I get married and it's supposed to be, you know, the walls. Dun, 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 dun. And I'm happy. What happened to that? What happened to Prince Charming? The glass slipper. Huh?
Prince Charming goes away.
Prince Charming goes away. Yes.
This pastor, I have one of my friends, is my former church, and not a while back, she ran away from her husband. She got all her luggage, and she's crying. It happened to be that I was visiting one of our church lady, so I think Miss Dawson went back and told her that I'm visiting with other ladies. And she was over there crying all her. I said, and she told me all what happened, running away from her husband, her problem marriage. And I told her, you know, why don't you just talk to your pastor and your pastor wife and have marriage counseling, maybe. And she's just crying, and she said, and then she take off to Philippines and cry again and come back. And then I saw her again, and she said, thank you for prayers, and we prayed together. And I told her, stay where you are.
Amen, amen. We're going to have problems. I mean, they're going to be here. They're going to be, I mean, you're either coming into a problem or in the midst of a problem or going out of a problem, getting ready to go into another problem. But life is full of problems because we are in a sinful world and with sinful people. And people just don't do right. Think about it. Do y'all do right all the time?
No.
So what makes you think your spouse is going to do right all the time? Do your children do right all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you think y'all going to do right all the time? Amen. I mean, and nobody does right all the time. Now, if you think you do right all the time, you're gravely mistaken. You don't, amen. You think, well, everybody else is just wrong and I'm right, amen. That doesn't work, amen. You can't get that past God. So he says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or when they surround you. Notice this, verse number 3. Mark, read that one.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
The trying of your faith worketh patience, or the testing of your faith worketh patience. Or in other words, what it's doing is building up patience in you. Now, in your book here, it says James tells us to count it all joy when we face all kinds of trials because the trying of your faith works patience. Then what does he write in verse number 4, Mark?
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Okay. He says, but then what you need to do is let patience have her perfect work or her maturing work, that ye may be what? Perfect or mature and entire. The word entire means complete, wanting nothing. How many of y'all want a complete marriage? Amen. I mean, I want the complete package, man. If I go to the store, I don't want half the package. I want the complete package. But then we got to have complete trials. Pastor Bennett used to always say this, there is no mess up and move up with God. If you fail the test, guess what would happen? You take the test again. How did it happen in school? How many of y'all failed the test, but they still passed you anyway? No. And do they give you the same test? You wish, because you got the answers memorized now. What do? They give you another test with different answers on the same material. So what God says, okay, you didn't pass this test in your marriage. Let me give you another test in your marriage. It's not going to be the same test, but it's going to be similar because I'm trying to teach you a principle. Whether it's your children getting on your nerves, not doing what you tell them the first time. Obviously, God is telling me, I haven't passed the test yet. Yeah. G2 just told me yesterday, Daddy, I'm going to try to do better because I frustrate you sometimes, don't I? Yes. Yes, because you just do it right the first time, son. But then I think, when God tells me to do something, I don't do it right the first time. And God says, see, I'm trying to teach you something about yourself. You are not perfect, so don't you be so hard on him. And so it is in the same way it is in our marriages. We're not going to be perfect, but God is trying to teach us something. So again, putting verses 2, 3, and 4 together, brethren, count it all joy, and be excited, be blessed about this when surrounded by temptations or when you're surrounded by tests. Why? Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith or what you believe, or remember the tea bag? When the hot water comes, what's going to come out? Amen. Know the tea bag. The let patience have her perfect work. That you may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing. So, with that said, let's look at some things here. I've got some questions that I wrote down. So, verse 4, he says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you're going to paraphrase that, patience makes me perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Or patience helps complete me. Or patience in my marriage helps me become what I need to be as a spouse to God and to my spouse and to others. And so I need that. We don't like that, though. How many of y'all think the tea bag likes going in hot water? It's inanimate. But now you take anything else and put it in hot water, it's alive. What is it going to do? It's going to try to get out. And don't we do the same thing? God turns the boiling water up, amen. I don't care what you throw in there. If you throw an ant in there or any kind of animal, anything you stick in there, I mean, they're going to start, you know, grasping for things. When the trials or the hot water of life come into our marriages, we don't like them. What is the first thing we try to do?
Escape,
get out of it. I don't want to face this. Guess what? If I escape this one and it's surrounding me, guess what I'm going to find? Another one. Guess what I'm going to find? Another one. Guess what I'm going to find? Another one. So I might as well deal with this one. Why? He says, count it all joy when they surround you, when you fall into them. Why? He's trying to make us something. He's trying to perfect us. And again, I don't like him any more than you do. Question, what may God be trying to perfect or mature in our marriages if this is the case? If that's a problem, if this is a problem, if this is a problem, that. But I'm going to find problems everywhere I go. What may God be trying to mature in my life as a husband or as a wife?
Communication.
Communication, that's at the top of my list, as a matter of fact. Communication.
I just wanted to say, me and my husband were kind of arguing on the way to the Phoenix. And Ms. Dawson texted me. I said, Ms. Dawson, thank you so much. I need to hear from you. So she comforted me.
Comforted you in your tribulation?
Yeah, she texted me. She said, I forget what she said, something. I said, oh, thank you so much. I needed to hear from somebody. And she texted me, and I was just thankful for that. So he does comfort us and use people to comfort us.
And it's amazing how that works. You know, I had heard about Charmaine, how bad she was doing on Monday and Tuesday. Devin had texted me and told me to keep tabs on her. And so Wednesday, I'm sitting in the doctor's office. I said, let me text Charmaine and see how her and Max are doing. I'm in the middle of the text. I hear somebody say, hi, Pastor. Charmaine's coming down the hall with both Max and Isla and her. And I said, I'm in the middle of texting you to see how you're doing. I'm trying to comfort her, and here she is, amen. And Isla was doing bad. She's, you know, spitting up goop and saying, here, Mom, take this, you know. And Max over there, like, looking like, don't mess with me. I'm not in the mood, amen. Charmaine's sniffling. I'm trying to comfort her, amen. Why? I had received comfort from God just that morning. So I'm like, hey, I got to comfort someone else, amen. And so that's normally how it goes, amen. What are some other things that God may be trying to perfect or mature in our marriages other than communication? Mark?
I was just going to say, just how we respond, because it's going to come back, like you said. We're going to be coming out of one and going back into it, and I'll catch myself responding the same way. If there's something that Michelle does that, you know, is a pet peeve of mine, that maybe even shouldn't be one, but even if it's legitimate, I know it's going to happen again, and he's testing me to know how to respond to that the next time. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't become a pattern, which most marriages seem to have in certain areas. For 20, 30 years, they still get upset because someone, you know, squeezes the toothpaste wrong or something. I was just joking the other day. We're one of those few couples that both squeeze the toothpaste right, but it's gonna be something else, you know? And it's just funny how something as silly as that, God may put us through something like that so that when something really big comes, you know, if we can't pass that test, how are we
going to
pass the big ones?
Amen. Amen. And by the way, some of our marriages, we have these things because we haven't passed the test yet. And we've got to pass the test. Yes, ma'am?
I was going to say just how to love each other, because you're so used to loving yourself or your kids, but loving your spouse, you know, in trials and tribulation can be hard, mm-hmm. you know, because you want to be able to talk to them. But if you're mad at them, you're not going to talk to them, you know, or if you're angry and you don't want to be around them, then just finding that place to simply love them, to have that conversation, I think is a big, you know, God pushes us to go to them in our time of need.
Amen. Amen. And that's a big one right there, just showing that love. I'm glad my wife always tells me when I'm not doing what I should be doing. She'll say, you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, or you didn't do this. And she just tells me straight up, you know, hey, this is what I need, and you didn't give it to me. I'm like, okay, bad me. I'm working on that, amen. I'm trying, amen. But, you know, and you got to have that communication so that she tells me, this is what I need. You didn't give me what I need. By the way, what is my job? To give her what she needs. That's why God gave her to me and me to her, to give her what she needs. And she gives me what I need, amen. Yes, ma'am?
I was going to say, it's just so different when one of you is seeking Christ and the other one's not. Because, you know, you tell them, you know, this is what I need, and you're not doing this. And it's like nothing to them. So it's kind of hard being one that's trying to follow and one that's not.
And that is difficult.
That's a big conflict.
That is
so
difficult.
So I feel the Lord is teaching me to have grace, unconditional love, and teaching him patience, because he's very impatient with some stuff. And that's kind of hard. That's really hard for me, because, you know, I tell him, well, this is what I need. You're not doing this, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. You're not meeting my need. And I said, the Bible says, how are you going to let people know what you need if you don't tell them?
Amen. And that's a difficult one as well. When one spouse is spiritually following the word of God, and the other one is not spiritually following the word of God, that's a tough one. What may God be teaching us in a situation like that? When one spouse is spiritually, the other one's not.
I think one thing I know is about Rosie, you know, God develops a strength that is really amazing. You know, and she may look and she may feel like, you know, she's weak and stuff, but when you talk to her, she's always, you know, she may be struggling like crazy, but she's always clinging to God's word. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk to her, she's bringing up scriptures all the time. And so, you know, I don't know what it's like. It must be horrible. But at the same time, you know, God has a special plan. But I see God developing a strength, you know, that is pretty amazing.
Amen. Yeah. And by the way, I don't know what it's like not to have a spouse that's spiritually serving God, because my wife and I started together. We've always been together. So I can't fathom what that's like. But someone like Lilia could definitely identify with you. Annette could identify with that, because Rodney wasn't always the Rodney that he is today. Amen. Robin and Bruce, you know, Bruce wasn't always trying to serve God. You know, I mean, so it's Stephanie and David as well. David wasn't always in church. And so people that have gone through that, they can, you know, empathize with you and say, man, I know what that's like. It's like this. And it's, man, hey, I need to pray for you. I need to work with you. This is how God got me through it, because it's not easy when you're up getting dressed every Sunday and then your spouse is laying over there, sitting over here, or doing this or that or the other. You know, you're at church and you want to praise God and worship God, but your mind is wondering, why isn't my spouse here? What is my spouse going through? What is my spouse thinking? And, you know, what are they getting into? What are they watching? What is the devil presenting to them? You know, and you have all these thoughts that go through your mind. I have never been in that situation, so I couldn't comfort someone the way some of you others could comfort someone in that area. Now, I can give you the scriptures, but I can't see inside the heart of a person that goes through that. And so that's what God is talking about here, how he gives us the comfort. He sends us through these trials. There's something else I put down. What may God be trying to perfect in our marriages? Communication, trust, love, someone said. Maybe forgiveness. He will allow the same trial to happen because maybe we're not forgiving the way we should be. Maybe anger. Maybe we're not responding the way we should. So he'll keep giving us situations to bring our anger level up until we can get a hold and a control of that. Maybe compliments. Maybe we're not complimenting the way we should. And so he's going to keep bringing that up. Maybe our speech is not what it needs to be. And so he's trying to perfect our speech so that we can say what we should say. Maybe our graciousness is not what it should be. We're not speaking with grace, you know. It said Jesus' words were always with grace, and he was gracious. Holy Spirit controlled. Maybe I'm not Holy Spirit controlled the way I should be in this particular area. So God is allowing this trial to happen. Maybe my commitment is not what it needs to be. So God's got to bring me a cancer or a fatal illness or a near illness, so I can see how committed am I to my spouse? Is it just in the good times when they're healthy? Now they're down and they've got to get a surgery, a mastectomy or something like that, or you know, got to get something, or he's impotent or something like that. How's my commitment level? So God could be bringing some tests our way in our marriages and surrounding us, and we've got to kind of join because he's trying to mentor us to see where we're actually at. We're the tea bag getting in the hot water. What's going to come out? Is graciousness going to come out, or is anger and frustration going to come out? And so we really should count it joy when we look at these troubles that God is sending us through, because again, directing us maybe, or inspecting us, or correcting us, or as he says here, maybe he's perfecting us. Come down to that middle paragraph. It says the word translated perfect means to bring to completion or maturity. Therefore, to make us perfect or complete, our imperfections are being removed from our characters. Again, as we are facing these problems, God is saying, okay, I want you to remove this. The phrase wanting nothing refers to lacking nothing we need to be used of God. God uses our problems to prepare us to be used by him. Imagine that. Remember we talked about Jonah last night? What was Jonah's problem? He didn't want to go to Nineveh. And what did God use? God used that problem to prepare him. Now, when he got there, did he do the job? Yeah, he did the job. But then what happened after he did the job? See, just like I thought you were going to do that. That's exactly what I thought you were going to do. You spared those people, and they're wicked. Do we do that sometimes in our marriage? No. We do what God tells us to do, and then God has mercy on someone else. We're like, he's supposed to get them. Make them right. Make them do what I asked them to do. Come to church, as Rose would say, or Lily would say. Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do. And look, they're still in the same boat. They haven't done anything. What's wrong with you? What's going on with this? And sometimes that can happen. God was working on Jonah just as much as he was working on Nineveh. By the way, Nineveh did get destroyed because guess what? They turned back to their ways. So when you look at that, the Bible tells us God comforts us in our tribulation, according to 2 Corinthians 1:4, as we looked at. Then what does God want us to do, according to 2 Corinthians 1:4? Of course, we already answered that. When others are troubled, I will be able to give the same comfort God has given me. Now, let me ask this question. What problems may couples need help with? What problems may couples need help with? If God is going to get me to the place where I'm perfected or I'm matured enough through my troubles that I've gone through to help someone else, what problems may couples go through that I may need to help them with?
Communication.
Communication, that's
prayers.
One.
Prayers.
Prayers, what's another one? Give you a hard one. How about an unfaithful spouse? The spouse has been unfaithful, whether it's the husband or the wife, and they've been with someone else. Hey, I've got to help them. I get that all the time. Yes?
It's like last night, Pastor, I wasn't very kind to my husband. Because you know how the sport, NBA, national championship, you know, that I want to watch. And my husband don't like, you know, for some reason, he always want to watch with me. And then we argue each other, and I said, honey, can you give me a big beaver? I said, I don't ask you, I don't hold up watch TV, you don't see me watch TV. And I said, this is really great, I want to see basketball. And I said, I've been watching for a while, for a year. Oh, first thing I know, he shut the door and go to the bedroom, and I was just felt so guilty and just apologized to him. And he said, oh no, honey, he said he'd been so selfish and he should have, you know, allowed me to. And I said, we both. So I get to watch the NBA sport last night in the living room, and he get to watch in the bedroom whatever he want to watch. Because, you know, we don't agree what he watch, and he don't agree what I watch. And I love football. Long time, you know, I used to go in the stadium and just screaming out there. But not anymore. I give up that, but last night I joke. But he was pretty much giving, and he said, okay, honey. That's why I went to the mirror. I said, yeah, but you slammed the door. So honest kindness that I'm working on it, Pastor.
So you got the TV and you got an apology. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here's some things that I say that we may have to help another couple with once we get matured. An unfaithful spouse, maybe. An unspiritual spouse, maybe. an unwilling spouse. Just talked about that. He's willing, amen. He's actually gave in, amen. Maybe an unopen spouse. They just don't want to talk. They don't want to open up. They don't want to let you in. And you're trying to get in, and they're closed off their heart, and they'll give you little pieces here and here, but they're so closed, and you know, you can look at them, there's something there, and they won't open up, and you're trying to pry, you're asking all the questions, and no, nothing, what's wrong, nothing, and you know there's something. So an unopened spouse, maybe an abusive spouse, maybe it's verbal abuse, and maybe it's physical abuse, it could be sexual abuse, maybe it could be child abuse, they're abusive to the children, whatever. A lazy spouse, maybe you had help with that, amen. Or maybe a spoiled spouse. I mean, hey, he's a mama's boy. Mama's always done everything. Now you married him, and he don't want to make up his bed. He don't want to pick up his clothes. He don't want to do this. He don't want to lift a finger in the house. He just sits back, and you think, well, why don't you do something? That's mama's job, you know. How many of y'all went to ladies' conference? What'd she say? That's the ladies' job, or something like that. How'd she say that?
Her husband said it.
Oh, she's changing the sheets on the bed. And he jumped in the bed without no sheets or something like that. And she said, why don't you change the sheet? He said, that's your job. Ladies, how are you going to respond to something like that? That's your job. If your husband jumped in the bed, no sheets.
That's not your race. I'd be like, right. Because I was raised that way. My mom did housework.
So for you, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, for me, it'd be like, yeah, you're right. Okay, fine.
Okay. Lady. What lady wasn't raised that way? All right, so Stephanie, how are you going to respond to that? David jumps in the bed.
Throw a slipper
sheets.
At him.
Yeah?
Like, go get the sheets.
Go get the sheets. Wait, he said, that's your job. I'm content. I'm laying right here, amen. You know, hey, I'm not changing a thing. Carmen, how are you going to deal with it? Well, I don't do that, amen. I wasn't raised that way, so I would do it myself. I'll fold the clothes. I'll wash the dishes. I'll clean the bathroom. I'll take out the guy. Anything in the house, I'll do it. My mother raised me. She said, boy, you better be self-supportive. Your wife may leave you one day. And you need to know how to take care of yourself. You know, wash clothes, iron, soap, blah, 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 blah. And so she made me fully supportive, so much so that when I married my wife, she said, you won't let me do anything for you. You know? And we had kids now. She's like, you need to help me with some of this stuff. I said, well, you want to do more, amen. So there are a lot of things that we may have to help another couple with in some of these areas. Some of these areas are sensitive areas. And they're not going to open up just to anybody. But if they know that you can help them in some of these areas, they'll be more willing to come to you. Now, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to know everything. Amen. And I don't. Amen. And there are certain areas that people come to me with counsel, and they say, Pat, and I'm like, man, Lord, I've never been through this. I don't know what this feels like. You know, you got to be kind and tender and compassionate, understanding. But if you've never been there, that's why I say I praise God for Pastor White. Okay, thanks, brother. Pastor White is one of the most compassionate men that I know. Pastor White lost his mother at age 10. Teresa White lost her mother at age 10. He lost his grandmother shortly thereafter. He lost his father. And so Pastor White was raised without a lot of the love that normally most people would get. I don't know what it's like to lose a mother, a father. I lost my grandma and my grandfather, but they were ready to go. It was 80 years old. And so I didn't lose anybody at a young, formidable age. And so oftentimes when people come to you with those problems and that trouble, and if you've gone through it, you know exactly what to say because you know exactly how they feel. And so those situations, you can help someone. But if you've never been there, guess what? You got to turn right back to God and say, God, you're the God of all comfort. Give me the comfort so that I can give to someone else to comfort them. Because I don't know what they're facing. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know how bad this hurts. I can see that it hurts, but I don't know how deep that wound goes. And God is going to give us what we need. That's why it's important as couples to be in the Word of God constantly. Constantly. A lot of people out there are going to give you a lot of bad counsel. We're going to talk about that today in Psalm 1. There's a lot of bad counsel. You don't want bad counsel if you're in trouble. You need good counsel. Bad counsel in trouble will just make it worse. Amen. That's like having a hurricane and then you go to a tornado for help. The tornado is not going to help put things in order. It's going to make things worse. And so what you need is the Word of God, and you need the God of all comfort. But as we go through these trials in our marriage, go back to James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. Read this once again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Again, fall means to surround. All these temptations are surrounding you. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith or the testing of your faith or testing of what you believe is going to work patience. It's going to produce some patience in your life. But let patience have her perfect work or have her maturing work that ye may be perfect or mature and entire or complete, wanting nothing. But notice verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He says, if you're going through these trials and these tests, ask God and he will give you what you need. Read that last paragraph together. It says, God uses our problems, past and present, to shape and mature us so we can serve him by helping others. God allows us to have problems to direct us, inspect us, correct us, and perfect us. How has this lesson changed your attitude towards your problems or your marital problems, and why? And that's what you're filling in that last blank. But I'm going to give you this one. What comes after trouble is what we're talking about in the next one. When trouble comes, what's the first thing you do besides pray?
Cry.
Besides cry.
Get angry.
Besides angry.
Blow up.
Besides blow up. Try to fix it, besides try to fix it. Suppose if it goes on for any length of time, what do we do?
We get frustrated.
Get frustrated?
Make it a bigger problem than what it originally
is. We do all these things. One main thing that we do is worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem, it's a trial, it's a trouble, it's lasting longer than I wanted it to last. One of the first things I'm going to do is worry. God, how long? How many of y'all read the psalmist? How long, Lord? How long, Lord? I mean, he said it four times in like two or three short verses. How long? How long? How long? How long will my enemies be against me? How long will you hide your face? How long? He said, how long? How long? How long? Worry. Yes, ma'am.
It's like Shane, he's doing all this practicing his driving now, and I keep pushing him like, hurry up. And I said, I want you to drive. I want you to get a lesson from mom. One at a time. I can't do all in once. He said, just calm down. Shane is more calm, but he's just like, I know your mommy want me to get my driver license, but he said, not now.
Not now, amen. Just amen. We'll give you a memory verse. Your memory verse is going to be Proverbs 21:5 for next week. Proverbs 21:5. By the way, we don't meet next week because it's the last Sunday. 21:5. And it says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Proverbs 21:5. 21:5. By the way, worry, it says here, worry is interest paid on trouble before it's due. Amen? Worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Amen? and that is so true. It says, worry chokes the happiness and joy out of our lives. And they're going to talk about the difference between worry and concern. Now, should we be concerned about things? Yes. Yes, we should be concerned about things. But there's a difference between concern and worry. Okay, we don't want to be worried. We want to make sure that concern is there and not worried. Amen. So Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. In other words, let's take our time with some things. Let's slow down, get the benefit, take it to the Lord, and make sure that we understand we're going to have these problems that are going to come into our lives, but the last thing we want to do is worry about them. God has got a reason that they're there, and he's going to affect it in his time. Amen. So that's one of the things you want to work on. Amen. All right, everybody got that? Proverbs 21:5. Not meeting next week. You'll be in, the men will be in Brother Serge's class. Ladies will be in Miss Katie's class. And so for the next 2 weeks, we won't have a class because then the first Sunday in March is the awards. So we won't meet for 2 weeks. But Proverbs 21:5. Go through the lesson, fill it out as best you can, and we'll start talking about worry the next time that we get together. Now, the worry we're talking about is worry in our marriages, so we'll have a lot of things relating to marriage in worry. Amen? Anybody have any questions? Yes?
He said we're going to be in Katie's class, the ladies.
Yes, ladies, next week
all
will be. All the ladies will be in Katie's class. And that's the class where I go around and check on all the classes on the last Sunday. This is February, so it's a short month. Okay? Everybody got that? Amen? All right, so wiping out worry. Let's make sure we do that, amen. But overcoming trouble. Trouble is to direct us, inspect us, correct us, and to perfect us, to make us better. But then our job is to help someone else when they go through trouble. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness in our lives, Lord. We know that we're going to have trouble in our marriages. Lord, we are going to be like the tea bag. It's going to show what's coming out when the hot water comes. Lord, help us to recognize whether you're directing us into or out of something or away from someone or into someone. Inspecting us, Lord, as to whether it's sin or our anger or whatever. Maybe you're trying to correct something in our lives as a husband or as a wife. Or maybe, Lord, you're just trying to mature us with the problems that we have, giving us more patience as we go through the situations and the things of life. Lord, trouble is going to come. We understand that. Lord, help us to navigate maritally through it. When the trouble does come, help us not to worry about it, but give it over to you. Thank you for loving us now. Minister in the next hour. Bless the food that we have and refreshments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right, you are dismissed.
Reminder, I'm giving the challenge.
You have a challenge, okay?
You
know.
Yeah, that's probably what I need to work on.
So who's is it? Brother Hall family or here?
He's like, oh, 9 years.
I come up and Brother Hall comes up.
I usually come up at the same time as Pastor White. He told me not to break the patient. I learned. He's right.
Okay, so. Amen.